Good morning, everyone. Good to be back. We've been gone a couple of weeks. Good to be back and to see all of you. I'm looking forward to the next 30 minutes or so. Maybe it'll be 30 minutes. I won't go over if I can help it. We're going to talk about relationships, and I'm going to talk primarily to the men today. And the power word today is priority, because men need to understand priority in relationships. I'll have something to say for everyone, but I'm primarily talking to the men today. Thanks, Eli, for reading that verse of Scripture. I'll go back to that verse of Scripture in just a moment. Now, I would encourage everyone everywhere to do whatever you can to make your marriage better. It's the best investment that you'll ever make. Marriage at first is a prize, and then it can become a surprise because you didn't know that much about that person you married. Oh, you thought you knew a lot about him before you got married to him. But when you're dating, you're on your very best behavior. I mean, you always look good, smell good. I mean, you're always on time, you're prim and proper, you're super nice. You're trying to win that person over. And so during that time, you're on your very best behavior. Now, it's kind of like the guy that was dating this woman. He loved this woman, wanted to marry her. One day she said to him, do you like to go shopping? He said, I love to go shopping. I shop 3 or 4 times a week. He's lying. God and the birth angel were looking down from heaven. God said to the birth angel, that's my servant Frank there. He's trying to impress that woman. He's lying. Says he likes to go shopping. He hates shopping. Birth angel, we got to teach him a lesson. Give him 3 daughters and he'll spend his life in the mall. You see, all marriages are great. It's the living together that can be tough. I've never been to a bad marriage. But once we begin living with each other, it can become pretty tough. When Cinderella turns into a nag and Prince Charming turns into a toad, then you know there's got to be some work here so that we have a great relationship. And so first, marriage is wonderful when you don't know that much about one another and you're all on your best behavior. And then it's war when all those masks begin to come off and you say, well, I didn't see that. I didn't realize you had that hang up or that quirk. Man, I really was blind. And so you realize it's going to have to be some work involved. That's when the conflict comes, and then it will be a lot of work. Conflict is a good thing, because without conflict, you'll never get to a great relationship, because you'll never discover what the other person really thinks, how they feel, what they believe. But finally, it's worship. Finally, you adore one another. I'm in the small group here. What are we called? We're called the empty nesters. And everyone, as far as I can tell, and I'm pretty observant, has a great relationship. We're all relaxing in the shade of a great relationship, but I guarantee you that there was some trouble along the way to get there, and we were willing to pay the price because we knew God wanted us to have a great relationship. Now, we're talking about the work part of it now. Somebody said marriage is like a romance novel in which the hero dies in the first chapter. All of a sudden, this perfect person is not all that perfect anymore. And let's be honest, we've all been there. I mean, we've all thought, if my mate really loved me, should have married somebody else. I'm going to help you right from the start. All the men, we're going to say a pledge. You don't have to say anything. You don't even have to stand up. And if you're single, you need to know this also, because you may get married one day. We're going to say a pledge. Now, if you don't know if you're a man or a mouse, just look at your wife. She'll tell you to squeak up. Are you ready? Here goes the pledge. I promise that I will talk about my feelings at least 2 times a year. And if she asks me for a gift to make her look beautiful and sexy, I promise not to buy her an exercise bike. And I promise never ever to buy a kitchen appliance for an anniversary or a birthday gift. Do you pledge? Okay, I heard yes. I don't know if you said it or not. A man went to the library, asked the lady librarian, he said, where is the book, Men, the Master of Women? She looked up over her glasses and said, sir, the fiction is in that section over there. But these principles will help you in all kinds of relationships, because these are basic Bible teachings, really, when you get down to it. Genesis 2:24 says this, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In order to have a great relationship, you're going to have to leave something. Now, what do you leave? It means to loosen oneself One relationship is going to take priority over all other relationships. You cleave to a relationship that now will be priority over all other relationships. You say, well, what do you leave? Well, first you're to leave your primary loyalty. Your primary loyalty was with your biological family, your mother and father. God now wants your primary loyalty to be with your family, this new marriage you're in. And sometimes that's difficult. Remember that old folk song, how old is she, Billy Boy, Billy Boy? How old is she, Charming Billy? She's 6 times 3, she's 4 times 7, she's 28 and 11. She's a young thing and cannot leave her mother. She was 85 years old, you add all those numbers up, still couldn't leave her mother, still primary relationship was back there. And God is saying, you'll never have a great marriage if you can't leave that old relationship. First, you have to leave expectations. The expectations, the rituals that you grew up with in your family. And you get the idea that everybody ought to do these same rituals. And so if you went to the beach every vacation, you get it in your mind that everybody ought to go to the beach on vacation. But if your husband or wife didn't go to the beach on vacation, then that can start to cause conflict. And so we have these rituals that we grew up. Nothing wrong with them. You may want to do them in your marriage, but it will be a we decision. The idea is you take the best out of this marriage you came from and the best out of that other marriage that the other person came out of, and you put it all together and you decide what you're going to do. You may want to use a lot of those concepts in your marriage, those rituals, but it will be a we decision because, you see, you take the best out of both situations and you can make it better than it ever was in your family of origin because all families make mistakes. Hate to tell you this, but there are no perfect families in here. We all make mistakes. And so you come together and you put all that together and you make a we decision and you can have a great relationship and learn from all those mistakes so that you don't run home to mama or daddy every time something goes wrong to get those needs met. You're going to get those needs met in your primary relationship, your marriage. And so when you leave and you cleave, then you begin making decisions that are we decisions. And you tell your mother, mother, we're not going to be able to get there for Christmas this year. You don't say, mother, my sorry, no good husband's not going to bring me home for Christmas this year. No. We decided that we're not going to be there this year. If you don't say we, you haven't cleaved. You haven't left your family of origin. Your primary loyalty is still to that old relationship. And God said it won't work that way. God has given you many different relationships to get you healthy. Some of you had to leave an unhealthy home where you had a lot of pain growing up. God is going to give you a relationship in your marriage to deal with that. And if you do what God would have you to do, it will be a great relationship, a great health-building situation. Some of you may have had to leave a dysfunctional home where you went through a lot of pain. And now God has given you this marriage to deal with all of that pain, a new way to get healthy. He's given us the biological family, the marriage family, and the church family as ways of getting you healthy. First, we're to leave, and then we're to cleave. Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 and following, I'll paraphrase that. Adam and Eve had just eaten the forbidden fruit. They were naked. They realized they were naked. They went and hid themselves. God shows up, so to speak. And God says, where are you, Adam? And Adam said, well, we were naked, went and hid ourselves. And God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that I told you not to eat thereof? And of course, we know what Adam did. He blamed it on Eve. But remember, in that situation, Eve made an eye decision. Adam was not there with her. Eve made an eye decision and they lost that relationship. And God comes to Adam and says, where are you? He didn't go to Eve because God knew, God knows that it's not in our nature as men to be where we ought to be. He knew our nature is not to be where we need to be. Our nature is to be doing other things. Many men have lost their family because they were driven to be successful professionally. And when they arrive, they look around and find out their wife is gone with somebody else and their children are in rebellion. And they don't understand because they were doing it for their family. And they really were doing it for their family. And there's great pain involved in that. I know that firsthand. Great pain. They really were deep down doing it with their family, and I try to give some preventive maintenance in my sermons. So it does become a matter of priority. Here's the problem. While you were being successful professionally, you didn't spend enough time with your wife. You didn't go away together. You weren't building a deep emotional and psychological and spiritual relationship with her. She just wasn't priority. And I understand how that can happen because we're just not taught these concepts. We in the church ought to be teaching these concepts and these principles to help strengthen marriages. We've got seminars coming up here about relationships. I hope everybody will be a part of that because we need to strengthen relationships, especially our marriage relationships. God held Adam responsible. The Bible teaches us that man is the leader of the home, not a dictator, a lover, a leader, a servant leadership. He is supposed to be the leader, but not in a controlling, domineering kind of way. I mean, if your idea of being a leader is you have your thumb on your wife and you're controlling her, you're not allowing her to express her creativity and be the woman God created her to be, that's not leadership. That's insecurity on your part. That's not the kind of leadership the Bible talks about. It's like a leader in an orchestra. Everybody submits. We all submit at different places. The question is, where are you? You know what happened there. The question was answered. Adam said, well, God, you know what the problem is here. This woman you gave me, it's her fault. And we know how that went. Adam blamed it on Eve, and Eve blamed it on the snake, and the snake didn't have a leg to stand on. And that's how it goes. And it's our tendency to blame other people when our life doesn't go the way we want it to do. I've been in counseling many times where people say, well, it's my husband's fault. He's not there. But you know it's his fault because she just said it was. And she starts to tell me how sorry no good her husband is, and he's not even there. And I used to empathize with that, get involved with all that because I was young and dumb and didn't know any better. And when she started telling me about her good-for-nothing husband, I'd get into that with her. I'd say, well, he did that? He called you that? Man, where did you find this guy? He told you that? He did that? Man, that's awful. Where did you find this guy? I mean, he locked you in the closet. Man, this guy must be some kind of a gorilla or something. This is terrible. Then she finally convinces him to come see me. Now, I'm a little nervous about that. I don't know if I want to see this guy or not. I mean, he locked you in the closet, after all. But I agree to see him, and he comes in. I'm expecting this mean gorilla kind of a guy. He walks in, smiles, dressed nicely, clothed and in his right mind. I'm thinking this is a nice guy. Shakes hands with me, smiles, and starts telling me about her. It's incredible what she said. It's incredible what she did. No wonder that guy locked her in the closet. That's where that lady belongs. But that's the way we always tend to react, that if this other person would change, this would be better. God wants you to make changes in your own life, take responsibility for your own life. The best way you can help change somebody else, well, you really can't, but you can change yourself. And people tend to change when they see that you have made changes in your life for the better. I learned after a while never to counsel anybody that wasn't there. If they weren't there, I didn't even talk to them. I'd make that person talk about their self. I'd say, bam, what can we do with your life to build you up, to help you become a mature, spiritually minded lady who is very functionality in her everyday life? What can we do to improve your life so that when your husband doesn't measure up to everything that you think he should measure up to, it doesn't throw you out of balance? And you can respond to him with good communication rather than going into a tizzy. Well, that usually goes over like a lead balloon because nobody wants to be told they're responsible in this area. And this is a series that I do. And this is one primarily to the men. And in this series, I would have already talked about the differences between men and women, right brain, left brain, the personality types, extroverted, introverted, judging, perceptive, thinkers, and feeling, lots of variables. We want to see what we can do to help marriage. Survey 97% of women said that all divorce is caused by men. So we want to help. Imagine that. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, that as heirs together of the grace of God, that your prayers be not hindered. Marriage is wonderful, and then it's war, and then it's work, and then it's worship, where you adore one another. Whatever you do for your wife is like worship. It's like doing it unto the Lord. God measures our love for him by the love we have for our family. So likewise, Christ has accepted you. Go back to chapter 2 of 1 Peter. Chapter 3 says, likewise, you husbands, that goes back, referring to Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ has accepted you, then you're to accept others. And charity does begin at home. That means you're to accept your wife with all her quirks and all her hang-ups. And of course, the wife is to accept the husband, who probably has more quirks and more hang-ups. I know that because I are one. And so when you do these things for your wife, it's like doing it unto the Lord. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now here are two vessels. I know you've been wondering what those two coffee cups are doing up there. Here are two vessels. The Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. One thing that means is a woman cannot open a pickle jar. I don't know why, but I never met a woman who could open a pickle jar, so God made men to open pickle jars. That's one thing we know for sure. So in physical strength, men are stronger and women are somewhat weaker. Now I'm speaking in generalities here. I've seen some women that could whip every man in here easily. But generally, the average woman and the average man is going to be a lot stronger than the average woman. God said she is the weaker vessel. She's not made like the man. A man is kind of like this mug, kind of ugly. You know, but it works. And I carry it around, drink coffee out of it. If I drop it, it probably won't break. It's pretty tough. And if I drop it, I pick it up, wipe it off, drink coffee out of it. That's what a man does. And a woman is like this. She's not as muggy as the man. She's not as strong as the man, but she's more valuable. This is strong, but this is more valuable. And if I drop that, it'll probably break, and Kara will break me. And not only that, it has a nice color-coordinated saucer to go with it. Because with women, it's never enough. They've always got to have more decoration. Now, this is stronger, but this is more valuable. And what we're looking at here is not that one is better than the other, but that they are different. And they are different for good reason. When you think about relationships, remember in your mind the differences between the two. It will help you to think about that. God said she's the weaker one, but she's the most valuable one. Why? So you give her honor. God then said he wants you to be heirs together of the grace of life. He wants you to have a partnership, team, be a team, a partnership. I don't want you to think alike. I mean, if you think alike, one of you is not necessary. I want you to think together, because thinking together will bring about solutions that will be better than anything you could come up with on your own. And so you have to make her a team member in the partnership. And when you do that, blessings will come from God. You sign God's checks of blessings together. It must work together. You try and go off and do your own thing spiritually and leave her out of the spiritual equation. Don't treat her as a valuable team member. Then God is not going to bless that. Matter of fact, God said your prayers will be hindered. I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. If your prayers are hindered, you're in trouble. I need all the help I can get. I need my prayer life to be as good as it can be, because I'm far. I know I look spiritual up here with my Bible, but I'm far from perfect. I make mistakes every day. You wouldn't believe it. I'm not even going to go there. Let's talk about your problems, not mine. God said your prayers will be hindered if you don't treat your wife as an equal partner. If you don't do that, you'll become kind of like a match pair, where you work like a horse and she becomes a nag. I'm plain spoken guy. I meant to say that. Because you think I got to do all this work and that's what she's going to appreciate. and she wants something else. I'll tell you what she wants. She wants a deep, meaningful relationship, a deep, intimate, spiritual, emotional, and psychological relationship with you. She can have superficial relationships with her friends. She married you to have a deep, below the surface level relationship. That's what every woman in her right mind. We talk about this woke crowd today. I don't know what they want. I mean, but average women, that's what they want. And if you don't do that, you'll kind of become like a match pair where you work like a horse and she is acting like a nag. And that's the way most marriages are in America. 41 to 50% of all marriages in America end in divorce. And of the 50% that don't divorce, only a small percentage are happy. If you have a happy marriage, then you are the exception to the rule. That's not to discourage anyone from getting married, by the way. You can have a glorious relationship if you're willing to do what God would have you to do. Somebody said, I know how to get around that. We'll just live together before we get married. And we'll iron all those differences out while we're living together, and then we'll get married. We won't have any problems. Well, I hate to bust your bubble, but couples that live together before they get married have a 70% divorce rate. It's not God's way. And you got to get around the problem of fornication also. You know, that's not a little problem. And so God says, dwell with her with understanding. That means you've got to understand not what you think she needs, but what she in reality needs. I normally would have a list of his needs, her needs on the board, but this is a one-time approach right here. I didn't have time to do all that. I've been out of town. I'm going to give you three needs that all average women need. And I don't mean average in a bad way. I mean average people are the salt of the earth. All the needs of a wife won't be the same. I'll give you three needs that most women have a great need for: conversation, decoration, and consideration. Conversation. Women want to communicate with a man. That's primarily how they relate to a man, through communication, through conversation. And she married you, so she wants deep conversation with you. A woman will think the relationship is going great if we talk a lot. A man will think the relationship is going great if we don't have to talk. You see, a man grew up not talking. He grew up doing things and finding solutions. And so when a woman wants to talk to a man, he thinks she's looking for solutions. Hey, guys, she knows you don't know the solution already. She knows you don't have the answer. She's not looking for a solution. And so he's getting defensive, thinking, I got to come up with a solution here. She wants to talk, and he's already backing up, saying, I don't want to talk. How can I get out of this? Because he thinks, if I start talking, I'm going to give her information that's going to indicate that I'm at fault in this some way, so I don't want to talk. She wants to talk, so he believes something must be wrong, and she's blaming me. I'm not talking, so he starts retreating. She's coming at him, I got to talk, got to talk. He's retreating, backing up, saying, I don't want to talk. You see, a man grew up finding solutions. And if a man didn't find a solution, here's what most men are taught. Well, it's subconsciously or consciously. If you don't find a solution, I mean, this is what we're taught. If you don't find a solution, destroy all evidence that you even ever tried. That's what a man is taught. So he doesn't want to talk to you because you can then come up with evidence that he had something to do with this. So he's backing up. You see, a woman talks for rapport, for relationships. Conversation for most women is like a meal to be enjoyed. You don't have to come up with solutions. She just wants to talk. A man talks to report. You got any new facts to report? Tell them to me. We're through channel surfing time. That's the way we grew up. Report. The Bible says, dwell with her according to knowledge. Realize that she doesn't just want your mouth. She knows you don't have the right answer anyway. She just wants your shoulder. She really wants you to learn how to listen to her and touch and hold her. It's important that you understand what she's not looking for and what she is. looking for. Also, a woman's need is decoration. That means a woman likes things to look good. We live in a modest house. But if you drop by any time of the day, everything's going to be in place. My wife likes things to be in the right place. She definitely expects me to be in the right place. But it's always going to be neat and nice looking and everything. The house always looks that way. You go to college. On the first day, you can tell the difference between men and women. The girl, on her first day, she goes into the dorm and she's decorating the whole room, putting up curtains, making it decorative. You go into a guy's room. He goes into the room, throws all of his stuff down on an unmade bed, and goes off and plays ball. Let me give you another example. Women, for some reason, love towels. Different colored towels, guest towels, color-coordinated towels, towels that you can use and towels you better not use. Towels here, towels everywhere. I thought if I were a single guy, how many towels would I have? And I think I'd have two or three, you know, and I'd take a shower, dry off, put it, hang it up, let it be drying, and I'd go wet, dry, wet, dry, wet. After 3 weeks, I'd throw them away, buy two more. That's how much I understand towels. But Carol has towels for different bathrooms and all that, and men always get the wrong towel in the wrong bathroom. We don't have a clue. Women have a need to decorate. I was with Carol one time. She had just bought a new house. This is before we were married. She looked at the wallpaper and she said, "That's got to go." I said, "But it's new wallpaper." She said, "It's not me." I said, "It's not me either. It's wallpaper." I don't understand it. Women show their personality in decorations. They express themselves in that. We men do that to a lesser degree. I see my time's running out here. You're going to have to give me 5 to 7 more minutes if you want me to complete this. If I hear an amen, that's telling me to go on. I didn't hear nothing. Okay. But this is a part of their creative process. And we men, we need that added dimension that women bring to our life. If it weren't for the women, we'd be about as efficient as the post office and as compassionate as the IRS. We need that added dimension that women bring to our life. The next word is consideration. That you're going to consider me when we decide things. Ephesians chapter 5, all through the New Testament, men are told to love their wives. We're told in Ephesians to love our wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. How much did Christ love the church? He gave up the convenience of heaven to be very inconvenienced on earth to serve us. And then to die on the cross for us. And so men, we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Now that tells me that if we're in a scenario, I might have to sacrifice my life for her. Now, I hope I'm not ever in that scenario, and I know no one does. But that's how much we're to love our wife. She should be that important to you. And you'll never be able to outserve your wife, believe me. The more you serve her, the more she will serve you back. In a man's language, she is the best investment you'll ever make. Don't let the everyday responsibilities of making a living detract you from loving your wife. Consider her by being totally honest with her. Don't hide things from her because you think she can't handle it. She wants you to be totally honest with her. That's one of the top 5 needs of a woman is total honesty. Withholding truth, however unpleasant, destroys her trust in you. Don't ever think, men, that you're helping your wife by shielding her from total honesty. Meeting her needs requires proper priorities. When you withhold the truth from her, whatever your intentions may be, she will perceive that you think she's not mature enough to handle it. In other words, she will think you're treating her like a child, and you are. Okay? She's an adult, grown woman. She needs to know and hear the truth. And so make it a priority. That's what this is all about. The power word is priority. Build marriages strong before God. and before the world. And God will greatly bless us. I've never heard a man who was told by his doctor, you have 6 weeks to live. Well, I'm going to take 6 weeks and spend it on the golf course. Never heard that. I'm going to go back to my office and spend 6 weeks in my office. Never heard that. I'm going to spend these 6 weeks with my family, which is priority. They are the most important people on this earth, and that's what God tells me to do. Make it a priority.